Well, hello, friends. Mark DiMatteo here with a message going out to our Great Questions group on this, well, now 25th day of May 2012. And I trust that this finds each of you doing well. Our title for this message, this is actually message number 15, and it is titled Lessons from Star Trek Part 2. Which probably most of y'all expected. So anyway, but before I get started here, a couple things. Number one, wanted to take a moment and wish all of you all a happy Memorial Day weekend. For those of you that are here with us in the States, there's a few folks receiving these messages that are not, but for the rest of you, I hope you all have a great weekend. Hope everybody has a great weekend regardless, but for those of us here in the U.S. in particular, always remember the reason for the holiday, which is those who have paid the ultimate price for us to have the freedom that we enjoy here in the U.S., and I hope that everybody else is blessed with that same freedom. You know, folks, no sane person ever wants war, but as long as there is evil in the world and bad guys that go along with it, sometimes good people must fight to remain free, okay? One other quick thing, and this is just a reminder that if you are new to our broadcasts, you can find more info on our Great Questions group, along with all of my previously recorded audio messages on my blog, which is very simply markdematteo.com, markdematteo.com, okay, M-A-R-K-D-E-M-A-T-T-E-O. If you haven't yet heard the prior recordings, let me encourage you to check them out as soon as you have the opportunity to do so. Since, folks, this is actually a chronological review of my Great Questions quest, it will put the current message in the proper context for you. Okay? And one other thing here before we get started, I just wanted to let you all know a little maybe anniversary update. I actually began on a very just gradual basis reaching out to folks about a year ago, May of last year, sometime in this during this month, just kind of low-key onesies and twosies, finding out whether or not I would have enough interest to begin to develop this endeavor. And of course, as you all know, the response has been kind of overwhelming. And as a matter of fact, about a year later, without really, advertising or really doing the social networking thing extensively, which I'm going to be pursuing more of this year. But right now, directly on my personal email list, I'm getting close to 500 folks. I actually have over 490 now. And we've got some folks listening to the messages on the blog now, a few folks starting to sign up on the blog. And of course, the messages are being passed out all over the place, which, as I've said before, the more the merrier. Anybody that any of these messages can help, they are welcome. You're welcome to send them on to. Okay. Interestingly enough, and some of you, a small handful of you know this, actually, I got some business cards put together, which I'm really pretty amped about because now I can just drop off a little card to somebody that I may not have time to talk to, and it's just another way to get the word out to folks. So pretty amped up stuff, good stuff happening. Lastly, I want to let you know that this message is probably going to be a little bit longer. It's actually been a little while since I've sent out the last one. Part of the reason is because this kept getting, more extensive, and I really didn't want to cut it and chop it up. Okay, so since it's been a little while, just bear with it. I think you'll enjoy it. It'll go quick, I think it'll keep the continuity going here. Okay, so sweet. Let's get rolling here. Picking up from where I left off in the previous message, I am now going to share with you some of the observations that I have drawn from the Star Trek shows and movies which I have seen. Again, in the context of the last message, I'm going to be focusing specifically on our unique ability to engage in imaginations of the third and fourth level, and that it does indeed appear to be a universal effect. Additionally, I'm also going to point out some of the problems and inadequacies of the human condition that are referred to in the show and seem to continue to plague man no matter how far into space or into the future he travels. In fact, let's start here. for these issues seem to be the primary motivation for us dreaming up some of the imaginative and fanciful solutions I have seen on the show, and a few of which I must admit I've even thought of myself. Though Star Trek is set primarily in the 23rd and 24th centuries, it is interesting to note that the characters often refer back to the problems society as a whole is facing during the time period that the particular show or that particular show or movie was actually being produced. Issues like poverty, hunger, war, and disease, to name a few, and those specific versions of those issues that were going on at the time. It is interesting to note that none of these problems really have been solved to any degree, even in our present time, though the original series was begun in the 1960s. Then there is the issue of man's mortality and the brevity and tenuousness of life. It has been sobering, folks, actually watching all of the actors age out through the series, as I've actually been aging out myself, we all are, okay? And listening to them lamenting the process, both on stage and off. In fact, unfortunately, there are at least two from the original cast, along with Star Trek's actual creator, who have since passed away. Man is still a relatively weak and frail creature, even 300 years into the future. In fact, a continuous theme portrayed is that in spite of all the technological advancements, they are still unable to prevent the inevitable decline and decease that all human beings ultimately experience. In fact, so pervasive is this condition that in one of the movies, one of the lead characters refers to time, now get this, as a predator that is pursuing, stalking, and hunting us. he says that we may elude it for a while, but eventually it is going to track us down and make the kill. Okay. And there is still the pervasive issues of loneliness, strife, and unhappiness. I remember one episode in which a spirit-like alien is given permission to inhabit one of the crew's bodies to help save the ship, and afterwards comments on how lonely we humans are deep inside. In fact, he comments that we seem to live out our lives in a vast aloneness. True meaning, peace, and joy seem to be as elusive three centuries from now as they can be here today. Additionally, there always seems to be the ever-present menace of evil. Kind of talked about that with Memorial Day, okay? No matter how far they travel, this was always amazing, no matter how far they travel, there is always someone or something waiting there that is bent on unnecessary harm and destruction. And no matter what they do, they cannot seem to elude it or get rid of it. In fact, there not only seems to be an innate problem within us and within most of the alien races they encounter, but there also seems to be one permeating the very cosmos as well, which is constantly attempting to counteract the influence of good. It's almost sort of like the, quote, dark side of the Force, unquote, they used to talk about in Star Wars. And I won't even go there, okay? So with a few of these pervasive problems in mind, here are some of the imaginative and even fantastic solutions I have observed watching the show. First, there are alien races portrayed that sometimes become our helpers and allies. Though they can only do so much for us, and sometimes, as I've mentioned, they turn out to be the worst of the bad guys. Furthermore, a few of these alien societies operate in a manner where all the individuals have one unified mind or central guiding force, giving them a unified community, and at least a degree of harmony and productivity, and no loneliness, okay? However, it is interesting that few of these unified alien societies are portrayed as being peaceful, as ironically, most are bent on the conquest and subjugation of other races. Then there are also other episodes where a perfect companion or mate are found. And obviously that's self-explanatory. In others, there are genetically advanced humans and human machine hybrids which are created in an attempt to improve the race. Then moving into even higher realms, human and alien immortality is occasionally portrayed and is accomplished through a variety of means. Furthermore, there are quite a few programs and at least two of the movies whose main theme is the pursuit of some sort of a paradise or heaven. Interestingly, even a good portion of the alien races they encounter believe in some kind of an afterlife where good is rewarded, and interestingly, evil is often also punished. I remember in one episode, a crew member, after he had been compelled to leave a type of paradise he and others had found on a planet, lamented that, "For the first time in my life, I was truly happy." In one of the movies, another heaven-like place is described by one of the crew who had experienced it but was also forced to leave. And they said something like this: "It was like being wrapped up in joy, as if joy was something tangible, and time has no meaning there. If you go there, you won't care about anything or anyone else. You will only care about staying there, and you won't want to come back." Beyond immortality in life and surpassing happiness in a heaven, there are even times when certain characters actually achieve a transcendent state of being and sometimes even become what they refer to as godlike. It is interesting to note, though, that in the majority of cases, here again, the person transformed, be they human or alien, rarely has the wisdom to handle their newfound power and sometimes turns into more of a problem than a benefit. If they do know how to handle it, the positive impact they seem to be willing or able to affect on a significant number of others is for the most part limited. Okay? So not a lot of widespread positive impact when they portray these folks with all these huge powers, okay? Finally, I'm going to share with you perhaps the ultimate example of an imagined transcendent reality that I have observed. It actually takes place in the first Star Trek movie, and I thought it was quite significant in a number of ways. Folks, the plot actually centers around this vast and incredibly powerful machine entity that is on a direct heading to Earth. The Enterprise and crew are sent out to investigate and ultimately discover the reason it is traveling towards our planet. At the core of this enormous entity is actually an old Earth space probe that had somehow become merged with it far out in space, and it was now bent on returning to its place of origin. Though it had amassed knowledge from across the galaxy, because it could only think in terms of logic, it still had no answers for some of the ultimate questions it was asking. Interestingly, those ultimate questions center on the actual great questions we're discussing in this group. In fact, at one point, one of the crew says something like, quote, everyone, at some point in their lives, will turn to someone, a father, a brother, a god, and ask, is this all that I am? Is there nothing more? So because it had yet to find answers to these questions, it was therefore traveling back to Earth to find its creator, as it figured whoever that was could provide the answers it was seeking. It is interesting to note that though the entity knew it had to have a creator, it did not know who it was. It only knew that the creator came from the third planet being in our solar system, okay? A certain degree of consternation then develops in both parties, both the humans and the alien entity, when everyone discovers that the humans are actually the creator, especially in light of the degree of contrast between the two. However, once convinced, the entity then desires to first touch and then literally join with its creator. Though the crew is initially concerned that this request and the potential of it being a massive letdown to the entity, they ultimately conclude otherwise, and it is fascinating to note the reason. After some deliberation, the crew determines that what the entity needs in order to grow is our unique ability to leap beyond the boundaries of normal logic and reasoning. In other words, it needed our powers of imagination and creative thought. Wow. The story concludes with the entity actually merging with one of the crew and a new, even higher life form is born, okay? However, following the pattern I referred to previously, it also unfortunately seems to immediately vanish without a trace and without imparting any benefit to the rest of humanity before doing so, okay? So now, as we conclude this message, I'm going to quickly summarize the three main points that I wanted to focus on and bear out from these lessons from Star Trek. Number one, it seems as if everyone is aware of the pervading problems and inadequacies of this life. Number two, it is also safe to say that with only a possible few exceptions, everyone is capable of imagining some kind of better reality where at least some, if not all, of these issues do not exist and are replaced by something far better. Number three, that this is indeed a universal condition on both fronts. And therefore, we consequently, folks, have a grand and comprehensive effect that there must be an adequate cause for. So in the next message, I am going to summarize what we have been talking about in these last few sessions and draw some conclusions from them. Conclusions, in fact, that actually helped me put one very significant piece of my life's puzzle into place, and I'm going to tell you about it. So, until next time, I have a little proverb for you. Remember, learn from the past, live in the present, and think about your future eternally. Have a great weekend, folks.